Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2001. Who is guilty?
Hello. Observing the responses to last week's attacks on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center has been interesting, to say the least. It has been 11 days now, and nearly every spokesman for the controlled media and for the government has been avoiding the obvious question. Why was the United States attacked? Nearly all of them are afraid of that question. They are pretending that there is no answer to that question, that there was no reason for the attack, that it was an unprovoked attack, because the answer to the question, why was America attacked, also is obvious. We were attacked because we have been letting ourselves be used to do all of Israel's dirty work in the Middle East. We were attacked because we have supported, militarily or diplomatically or financially, every bit of aggression and every atrocity Israel has committed against its neighbors for the past half century. Everyone in the world with even half a brain understands that, even if talking about it is considered politically incorrect. I've been warning about reprisals against the United States for many years. 7 years ago, on February 25, 1994, an American Jew, Baruch Goldstein, walked into a mosque in Hebron and machine-gunned Palestinians at prayer, killing 29 of them before running out of ammunition and being beaten to death by the Palestinian survivors. This act of mass murder immediately made Goldstein a saint for religious Jews everywhere. They built a shrine to him near Hebron, and Jews from the United States and other countries still make pilgrimages to this shrine. There were no reprisals from the Palestinians at the time, and the mass media in the United States barely mentioned the massacre, even though the murderer, Goldstein, was an American. But the Palestinians and Muslims everywhere remember such things. They blame not just the Jews, but also the people who finance and arm and shelter the Jews. That is, they blame America. And right after the massacre, I warned all of my fellow Americans in an article I wrote for my magazine, National Vanguard. The article was titled, "Stay Out of Tall Buildings," and it reported the massacre and the minimal response of the media here, and then it warned, and I quote, "New Yorkers who work in tall office buildings, anything close to the size of the World Trade Center, might consider wearing hard hats to work for the next few months." Well, of course, it took the Muslims more than a few months, and there were many more American provocations meanwhile. But last week, the response eventually came. Of course, there had been lesser responses earlier. The bombing of a couple of American embassies in Africa and of the U.S. Navy destroyer, the USS Cole, for example. But those events were a long way from here, and to most Americans, they weren't real. Hardly enough to distract them from the latest ball game on TV. What happened last week finally caught the attention of the American people. It's about time that Americans began to pay attention to such things. Unfortunately, the great majority of Americans still get all of their opinions and attitudes from TV, and so they will not learn what they should learn from last week's attacks. What they're learning from TV is that the attacks were unprovoked, that the attackers were cowards, and that we'll smoke them out of their holes, by golly. They're also taking to heart a lot of slogans along the lines of, "We're the greatest country on earth, and these attacks will only unite us and help us all pull together." When real lemmings hear slogans like that, they become misty-eyed, put their right hands over their hearts, and begin singing the Star-Spangled Banner. And they begin looking for enemies so they can demonstrate their patriotism, a sentiment which will be in fashion again for a few months. One Lemming was arrested in Washington trying to ram his car into the Saudi Arabian embassy. Others around the country have been throwing bricks through the windows of mosques. All of them have been flying American flags. But among all of them, there is hardly a grain of understanding. The dimwit who tried to ram the Saudi Arabian embassy doesn't understand that the Saudi government is more a friend of Muslim fundamentalists than anyone in the West is. If Muslim fundamentalism experiences a surge of growth as a consequence of the success of the attacks last week, it will be either the government of Saudi Arabia or that of Egypt which will fall first, followed quickly by every other Middle Eastern government that has collaborated with the Jews, or, what is the same thing, with America. And the chests of all the dimwits swell with pride when their government in Washington rattles its sabers and issues demands to the government of Pakistan and other governments in the Middle East. Washington has demanded cooperation with its effort to catch the people who attacked New York and Washington last week. The rulers and top politicians in these countries are pledging their cooperation for their own reasons, but this sort of thing doesn't sit well with their countrymen. Patriotic Pakistanis, both among the educated classes and among the religious elements, can only hate America even more as a result of these humiliating demands and the ignominious response of their own leaders. Of course, I don't know who organized the attacks on Washington and New York last week. Neither does Mr. Bush. And I doubt that he will know with any degree of certainty even when he begins ordering missile attacks against various Middle Eastern targets, more for proving his leadership to the flag-waving Lemmings here than for actually punishing the people who organized the events of last week. Aside from these domestic political considerations, the principal determinant of the American response will be whatever the Jews think is best for Israel. Former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu set the tone last week while the fire was still burning in the Pentagon and in some of the buildings of the World Trade Center complex. He said that it will not be enough to kill Osama bin Laden and his followers. The United States must destroy all of the governments of those countries where terrorist groups might arise in the future. We must do it now, Netanyahu demanded, while there is popular support among the American people for such a preemptive war. If you wait, Netanyahu said, you will lose your chance. New and stronger terrorist organizations will spring up to take the place of Osama bin Laden's group. So strike now. And other Jewish leaders, both in Israel and in the United States, were pushing similarly for a full-scale preemptive war. There's no doubt that the U.S. military forces could depopulate the entire Middle East with ease. With minimal loss to ourselves, we could make a huge, self-illuminated glass parking lot out of Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, and all of the other countries bordering the Persian Gulf, the Red Sea, and the Eastern Mediterranean, except Israel, of course. Actually, that's not the solution the Jews prefer. Instead, they want us to send in ground troops, whip their armies, take over their countries, and install puppet governments that will follow the Jews' orders. Then they can control and milk the whole area. That grinning idiot we have in the White House, George Bush, is perfectly willing to go along with such a scheme if that's what they tell him to do. The media are sampling public opinion now and reporting that most of the Lemmings will go along too. Whether or not that is the way the Bush government goes remains to be seen. There are serious liabilities and risks if the United States undertakes such a major protracted war. occupation armies will be required to keep the area pacified. And even though the Lemmings are feeling all warm and fuzzy and patriotic and morally indignant now in the wake of last week's attacks, they may become restless during a protracted war to bring the whole Middle East under Jewish hegemony, especially when our casualties begin mounting. Presumably, all of these considerations will be taken into account before the Bush government is told what to do. Mr. Bush's advisors also should take into account what happened to the Soviet Union during its attempt to conquer Afghanistan. The Soviet Union spent more than 8 years trying to whip Afghanistan's Muslim guerrillas and had 15,000 of its own soldiers killed in the attempt before finally giving up in 1989. And during this attempt, the Soviets already had a pro-Soviet government in Kabul, a government whose leaders were condemned as traitors and infidels and butchered by the Muslims as soon as the Red Army pulled out. Any government of Afghanistan that might otherwise be inclined to make a deal with the United States certainly will remember that. Of course, just because the Soviet Union was unable to whip Afghanistan doesn't mean that the United States can't do it if the U.S. government is willing to make a big enough effort and to sacrifice the lives of enough Americans. We certainly have more than enough firepower, more than enough high-tech weaponry to do the job. We are a bit short in some departments, to be sure. Intelligence, for example. I am astounded that as complex an operation as that against the World Trade Center and the Pentagon last week could have been planned and carried out without the Bush government having any hint of what was going on. Was this another Pearl Harbor scenario where our government knew of an impending attack but pretended it knew nothing and waited for the attack to come so as to have an excuse for becoming involved in a war? The Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, of which the Roosevelt government had plenty of forewarning, transformed the sentiment of the American public from anti-war to pro-war overnight and allowed the Roosevelt government to become fully involved in the war against Germany, which was Japan's ally. Roosevelt was itching for a war because all the Jews around him were pushing for it. Did the Bush government know about last week's attack ahead of time, but pretended not to, so as to have an excuse for launching a war against the Jews' enemies in the Middle East? I really don't know. I think it much more likely that the government of Israel had some intelligence about the attack ahead of time and deliberately withheld that intelligence from the United States. That's the sort of thing the Israelis often have done in the past. And they certainly welcomed last week's attack. Well, that's a minor question. The big question is, why should we start another war now? What advantage do we gain? Even if we pulverize Afghanistan and kill its entire population, do we thereby prevent any further attacks against America by people in the Middle East who object to our government's support of Israel? I think not. Afghanistan is not the only country in the Middle East capable of supporting guerrilla fighters, and guerrillas who are willing to sacrifice their own lives by flying into their targets will not be easily intimidated. We may be able to install puppet governments and occupation armies to support those governments everywhere in the Middle East, and we may be able to introduce all sorts of new security programs in the United States intended to make the job of an attacker more difficult. But the ultimate cost of all this will be very, very high. And again, the question is, why should we do these things? Why should we continue making ourselves a target for terrorists so that these things even bear consideration? You know, there are Americans who have a chip-on-the-shoulder attitude. They don't want to hear that we should stop letting Israel wag America like its tail. They don't want to hear that we should stop doing the things in the Middle East that make the people of the Middle East retaliate against us. Their attitude is, by God, nobody nobody's going to tell us what to do. We'll continue supporting Israel with money, weapons, and diplomacy if we want to, whether it's in America's interest or not. And if any of those towel heads in the Middle East don't like it, we'll kick their asses. We're bigger and tougher than anybody else, and we'll push anybody around we want to, and they had better not complain about it. This swaggering, bully boy attitude is what we're hearing from some American politicians now who are courting Jewish support, and also from some military leaders with political ambitions, unfortunately. I think that's really stupid. Let's let the attacks on New York and Washington last week serve as a wake-up call for every thinking American, a wake-up call for us to begin paying attention to our government's policies and to begin insisting that our government act only to protect and promote the interests of the American people and nothing else. For far too long, we have watched cynically from the sidelines as our government became more and more corrupt, more and more irresponsible, more and more negligent of America's interests. We watched the Jews corrupt our political system with their money and their media, and then use America's power and wealth for their own purposes. Most Americans, because of the Jewish control of their mass media, are not aware of this, but thinking people in most of the rest of the world certainly are aware of the way we're being used. This has earned America the contempt of the whole world, including not only Israel's enemies, but Israel itself. The deliberate Israeli attempt to sink our ship, the USS Liberty, in 1967 was just one indicator of that contempt, which has grown more profound since. You know, there are two reasons why the people of the Middle East hate America. One reason is that to the Muslims, America is the great Satan, the corrupter of the world. They don't want us meddling in their affairs and trying to change the ideas and attitudes of their people. They don't want our Hollywood films and our Madison Avenue fashions and our immorality and our lust for money to corrupt their people. They don't want to be contaminated by us. They want us to take all of our Jewish fashions and our Jewish television and our Jewish attitudes and ideas and get out of their lives. Go home. Leave them alone. For many Muslims, the view of America as the great Satan, the great corrupter, as an actual source of corruption in the Middle East, is enough reason to attack us. But if we were not meddling in their affairs, if we were not supporting puppet governments in their part of the world, if we were not supporting Israel, if we were not bringing our corruption to them, if we would, in fact, go home and leave them alone, their contempt for our lack of character and morality would not be a sufficient motive for them to attack us over here. The reason for their attack last week is our support for Israel's aggression against them. Our lying media and our lying politicians in Washington will deny that. But it is crystal clear to anyone with eyes to see. It is obvious to thinking people everywhere. The attack last week was not unprovoked. We were attacked because we support Israel financially, diplomatically, and militarily. As long as we continue to support Israel, we will remain a target for the patriots and the religious fundamentalists of every other country in the Middle East. Is that really what we want to do? Does that really serve Americans' interests? I think not. Let's emphasize just two things in connection with last week's attack. First, anybody in the media or in the government, any politician or other public figure who tells us that the attack was unprovoked is lying to us, consciously and deliberately lying, because although the Lemmings may not know any better, every government official and every media boss does know better. And anyone who deliberately lies to the American people on such an important matter is thereby declaring himself an enemy of America, an enemy of the American people, whether the liar is George Bush or a top media Jew or a general in the Pentagon. Anyone who tries to steer us away from the truth that this attack was a retaliation for the American support of Israel's atrocious behavior in the Middle East is an enemy of America. Second, when we hear media spokesmen or government spokesmen tell us sternly, their voices quivering with phony indignation, that we need to hunt down and punish the evil men responsible for last week's attack, we can only agree with them. Yes, the people responsible for the attack are evil and should be hunted down and punished. But we don't have to go to the Middle East to find the responsible people and punish them. They're a lot closer than the Middle East. They're evil, but not because a lot of Jewish real estate in New York was destroyed. Yes, that's right. The owner of the World Trade Center, that is, the owner of a 99-year lease on the property, is a Jew, Larry Silverstein. They're evil, but not because a great many Jewish lawyers and Jewish financial consultants and Jewish middlemen had offices in the World Trade Center. They're evil because thousands of young white women who worked as receptionists and secretaries and file clerks in both the World Trade Center and the Pentagon were killed, along with hundreds of airline passengers and crew members. That is what calls for punishment. And who are the evil men who should be punished? These men responsible for the death of so many of our people. Mr. Bush assures us that he's got the FBI and the CIA on their tails, and that he'll find them pretty soon. Hey, Mr. Bush, call off the FBI and the CIA. If you want to know who's responsible, just walk into your bathroom and look in the mirror. Of course, it's not really fair to put all the blame on Mr. Bush. His last 10 or so predecessors in the White House also are responsible. Republican and Democrat alike, they've all danced to whatever tune Israel was playing. By ignoring America's interests and letting themselves be used by Israel against Israel's neighbors for the past half century, they all helped to incur the debt that was only partly repaid last week. And indeed, we can cast the net of blame much wider. We have a system of government in the United States that the Jews have learned to manipulate. With their money and their media, they are able to swing elections, buy politicians, and control public policy to suit themselves without regard for the interests of the American people. After the Second World War, they were determined to change American immigration policy in a way that would dilute the white majority with a flood of non-white immigrants. And they found a multitude of white politicians and white clerics and white businessmen willing to collaborate with them and push through the immigration changes they wanted. And when the Jews launched the so-called Civil Rights Revolution in the 1960s, again they found many thousands of white politicians and clerics and businessmen and lawyers to help them strike down the laws against miscegenation and push through new legislation requiring the racial integration of schools and workplaces and neighborhoods. And the same pattern can be seen in the entire history of America's policy in the Middle East. From the beginning, it has been a policy intended to promote Jewish interests and to sacrifice American interests. But the Jews could not have pushed these policies through by themselves. They had a multitude of Gentile collaborators willing to sacrifice the interests of the American people in order to curry favor with the Jews. And these people, these traitors to their country and to their race, who put their own selfish interests above those of their people, certainly have been aware all along of the debt that was being built up. Sally Soccermom and Joe Sixpack may not have figured out why everyone in the Muslim world hates America's guts and why a few Muslims are willing to die in order to punish America for what America has done to them on behalf of Israel. But the traitors understand it perfectly well. They understand who is responsible for last week's tragedy. And that's why they all try to keep the public confused by always referring to last week's attack as unprovoked. And I'll guarantee you this. America will continue to have tragedy after tragedy. Not because we don't have strict enough security measures at our airports, and not because of Osama bin Laden, but because we don't have a government which represents the interests of the American people. Until we regain control of our own news and entertainment media, and have leaders whose sole concern is what's good for America, not what will win them Jewish support in the next election, we'll remain a nation adrift, hated by all, respected by none, and fair game for anyone who has a grievance against us. Thanks for being with me again today.